Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 145 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on July the 17th, 2017. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, Pete. What's going on?
Nothing.
It's big news week this week. It's good to have you back. Oh, yeah. It's good to be back here in the driver's seat on Two Men and the Mouse. And you know, let's just go. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. And we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
Okay, so, I mean, we can't even, like, banter this week. We've got so much to get to.
I know, it's a huge show.
It is that magical, wonderful time of year again, folks. It is D23, which, to a Disney podcaster, is essentially Christmas and Thanksgiving and Halloween and pretty much your birthday and every holiday kind of rolled up into one, because we have just, there's some weeks where it's just like, oh, what are we going to talk about this week? They're building a new parking garage at one of the resorts. Like, but this week, I mean, like, there is so much.
There's a lot
to discuss. Yeah. So, folks, we are super happy to be back with you guys. Apologies for the delay. As I explained kind of last week, we had recorded a show. We had recorded an episode 144, and we were both really happy with it. We were like, wow, this is like one of our like top 10 episodes of all time. Like, this is like, we did it was like top 10 like cues that needed a refurbishment.
Yeah.
We did like a whole big thing in news. Like, it was a long episode. It was like almost 2-hour episode, and then we completely lost it.
It was a shame.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep.
And
yep.
You texted me immediately after. Like, I was on my way home.
Yeah.
And you were like, I lost the show. And I had nothing to say.
Really. Yeah, no, you were just kind of like, are you kidding me? So. And we're both a little underwear. Then, folks, you know, I was traveling to New Jersey at the time, and, you know, we couldn't record then, and then it was the 4th of July. We couldn't record then. So, but we are back. Two Men and the Mouse is back for you guys now. I know we say that a lot, but we are, my life has significantly calmed down, and, you know, Pete's life is always kind of the same, you know, awesome, linear, you know, path. So, we are ready to bring the Disney back into your radio, smartphone device, whatever you want to listen to it on. But okay, so by the way, I did try to stop into Rogue Comics, that mecca of.
I know, Sean told me.
Yeah, I stopped in expecting to see you, and like I bust in the door, and it's Sean.
Well, Sean is gracious enough to work for me on the weekends.
Yes.
But it is usually bound by his real life job schedule.
Right.
So,
well, you know, that was I think it was your daughter's birthday party that day too. So like that was.
Yes.
Why,
yep. That's right.
Know. Yeah, so I did not get to see Peter. You know what, folks? Just every once in a while, you walk into somewhere expecting a Peter Mandel, and you get Sean. Like, it's just kind of what happens in life. Like,
I get it.
One day, like, people should tune in for the episode, and it's like I'm Kevin Kessler, and I'm driven by my good buddy Peter Mandel. Sean! Like, it's just like Sean just like...
Sean's just sitting here on Skype.
Sean's like the old maid card that just kind of, like, pops up. But anyway, folks, we are jumping into the news this week, and the news, as always, brought to you by our good friend Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you, and also this week by our friends at KingdomStrollers.com, who will rent you the stroller or crib of your dreams on your next Disney vacation and deliver it right to your Disney resort. So we are not going to try to like backtrack and go through all the news from the last month. We're going to do that next week. But what we are going to do this week is obviously dive deep into the D23 news, because there is so much. It will fill up the entire show, and we're just, you know, excited to be back and excited to bring it to you. So Pete, let's take a quick commercial break right now so that we're uninterrupted when we talk all this awesome D23 news. So folks, we're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network and be back with our news / e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
He gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
All Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you got to return them before you leave the park that day. This is going to make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and Dad's shoulders are going to thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy. by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
And we are back, folks. Thank you for sticking with us through the commercial break, and let's talk D23. I would say this is one of the most eventful D23s of all time as it comes to park-related news.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, we are going to talk a lot about park-specific things this week. There was a lot of stuff that went down. A lot of movie stuff, Incredibles 2, Wreck-It Ralph 2, a bunch of different movies and television things, A Wrinkle in Time, the Avengers Infinity War, Star Wars Last Jedi, Kingdom Hearts. I mean, Kingdom Hearts with the Toy Story Land. Did you see that trailer, by the way?
Yeah, very cool.
Have you, like, I'm sure Ethan's old enough now to play Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, he's not a huge fan. I tried to get him to play it.
Really? Oh, you bought it and he didn't like it?
Yeah. I bought the remastered.
Oh, man. I'm really shocked to hear that. It's such a good game.
Well, you know what? Don't be... My son is not your typical 12-year-old, so...
Gotcha.
He's plowing through books this summer.
Oh, well, you know what?
And I almost have to force him to do... Mike, why don't you play some video games? It's like the reverse.
You know, I have a pretty good book if he wants to read it.
You know, he would read your book. He's reading... What's the Divergent series?
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, it's a, you know, why I like that. But yeah, you know what? We're getting away from D23 right now. I will send you a book. But anyway, let's dive deep into the world of D23.
Head first.
Yeah. I'm so ready for this. I mean, you know, a lot of... somebody on the Two Men and the Mouse Facebook group had said something like, is it just me or is this D23 like all the rumors we've heard for the last like year just being confirmed?
True.
It pretty much was. I mean, a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about are things that we have talked about on the show before when they were listed as rumors, like back when they were just on like WDWNT or something like that. We were like, oh yeah, right, whatever. But turned out, yeah, no, they were true. So that's a healthy dose of crow that we're eating. You know what? Let's start out with the... let's start out with the fact that Disney is introducing its own Uber-like direct transportation service known as minivans. That's M-I-N-N-I-E vans, and they are Chevy cars. What are they? They're, you know what? Let's find out. Remember, an all-new minivan service will provide a point-to-point transportation service, giving guests an even more seamless resort vacation from start to finish. This new car service comes alongside the official confirmation of the gondola transportation system, which we'll talk about later. Based on the press image, the minivan uses Chevrolet Traverse midsize SUVs, which seat up to 8 passengers across 3 rows. The minivans will be priced at $20 per trip per vehicle. So you can transport your whole family for $20.
Yeah, you know, listen, I'm never going to turn down more transportation.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, decorated. They're red SUVs that are with white polka dots that look like Minnie Mouse. So, I mean, like, it is pretty cool.
I'm curious, you know, typically, if you go to your hotel and you go down to the bell stand, there are typically cabs there.
Yeah, you know, you gotta wonder how
is this doing away with that?
Yeah, I don't know how Mears is dealing with this. Plus, I mean, you know, it's pretty much double the price of an Uber.
Right. It's expensive, but I also doubt. I mean, are they taking you off property?
No, I don't think so. I think it's from what it sounded like to me, it sounds like it's a point-to-point system. So it's like from your resort to the park if you don't feel like waiting for buses. Or I could see this being a big thing at the end of the night where, like, you know, you call a minivan to take you back to whatever resort you're staying at.
I'm
they're saying these are going to be rolling out soon. Like, I mean, we're talking.
Yeah, how hard could it be?
I guess if they've got, they're saying it's planned to begin late this month. So this month we could be seeing these minivans driving around Disney property.
I think that's cool.
Somebody said, I guess there's like concerns with Uber about like safety and whatnot, which I mean, obviously I've never had an issue with it, but the some people are saying like, oh, you know, I'll pay an extra $5 or $10 for, you know, knowing that it's Disney transportation that, you know, is, you know, licensed by Disney. Which I guess I can kind of see that, but
I kind of agree with it too.
I feel like $20 like each time, like if you're going to do this everywhere, I feel like that's an investment. I mean, it all depends, I guess, how much, you know, how much you're willing, how much your travel comfort is worth to you.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine this is something you'd use every day. If you're me, right?
Right.
I am maybe.
I often imagine
maybe
that.
Maybe using this twice a trip.
Right.
I see it as being like, okay, I have an 8 o'clock breakfast at the Poly. For me to take multiple buses to get there, it's easier for me just to pay this $20.
Right. I get that. I totally get that. So is this a service? No word yet on how they're going to roll it out, like if it's an app or whatnot, or if you have to book it with like the hotel concierge. But it's a thing. It's happening. It's going to happen. So, all right. Ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay, so Disney has also announced plans for a new resort. So we have two new resort stories. We're going to start with the lesser here, and then we'll get to the other one later. So this is a new Disney Vacation Club DVC resort. It's going to be in the Epcot Resort area called Disney's Riviera Resort.
Okay.
It's going to open in the fall of 2019, and it will have 300 accommodation units, and will be linked to the new Disney Skyliner gondola system, which we've talked about on the show before, but we will talk about more. In a little bit. So the gondolas are going to connect the DVC property, the Art of Animation Resort, Pop Century, Caribbean Beach, and Hollywood Studios, and Epcot at the International Gateway. So, I mean, I guess we're kind of talking about it right now, but the gondola system is, in fact, it's already being built. So it wasn't really a big surprise, but it's called Disney's Skyliner Gondola System. All right, so what do you think? Now, new resort, is that exciting to you? Are you thinking you're going to...
No. I don't care about DVC resorts too much, just personally.
Now, here is the kicker. Remember the expansion coming to the Caribbean Beach Resort?
Right.
That's this resort.
Oh.
It's a whole new resort. They've cleared out, I think, the Barbados and maybe Martinique Islands. Like, they're leveled. Really? They're gone.
Huh.
And they're putting this whole new resort there. That is what it's saying.
So, Caribbean Beach Resort has just shrunk.
Essentially, they've just kind of carved out a percentage of the Caribbean Beach Resort and made it this. Land for the new Disney's Riviera Resort will come from the recently demolished section of Disney's Caribbean Beach. So, yeah.
Hmm. Okay. You know what? I know plenty of people who I've sent to Caribbean Beach because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, man, at the end of the night, that bus has a long way to go.
Well, yeah, and I'm assuming if this is going to be a DVC resort, it's going to be a deluxe resort, and it's going to have its own bus system. So,
right.
And it'll be on the gondola.
You've shortened that bus ride around Caribbean Beach at the end of the night.
That is also very true. We have an opening for Toy Story Land. Toy Story Land is coming ahead of what we had originally... We originally thought Toy Story Land would open alongside Star Wars in 2019. Not so much, Peter Mandel. It's going to be opening in summer of 2018. You know what that tells me?
That they still want to charge $90 a day to get into Hollywood Studios?
It tells me that this Toy Story Land might not be the wonderful thing everyone thinks it's going to... Like, I feel like if you released... I feel like it's going to be like... If they can finish this land in a year... That's like, it must not be very involved.
Listen, it's going to be more Chester and Hester's than it is Avatar.
I completely agree. I completely agree. And the attractions, I mean, there are no, there's no e-ticket ride in that. I mean, you have the Slinky Dog coaster, right. And you have the
And by the way, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine because this is like a land for kids. It's meant, I feel like it's meant to kind of draw the families away from Star Wars almost.
And we have a Toy Story e-ticket ride already.
Yes, we do. And I guess the entrance to this is right outside Midway Mania, so.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of meant to be looked at as a whole, so I'm all right with it.
So Slinky Dog Dash is a family roller coaster attraction where you're going to zip, dodge, and dash around many turns and drops that Andy has created to make Slinky and all his coils stretch to his limits. And the alien swirling saucers will be a new attraction at Toy Story Land, designed as a toy playset that Andy got from Pizza Planet, inspired by the first Toy Story film. Aliens are flying around in their toy flying saucers and trying to capture your rocket toy vehicle with the claw. How do you feel about that?
I think it sounds fun for kids.
It sounds like it sounds like a Dumbo, like, or honestly, more so than Dumbo, it sounds like the Kang and Kodos ride at Universal.
Yes.
Which is so incredibly loud.
You know, is it wrong that all I really want are maybe some, like, unique character meet and greets?
Oh, what do you mean? Like, lots of Huggin' Bear and...
I don't know. Just give me someone... Don't give me someone beyond the, Buzz, Woody, Jesse that I always get.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, maybe, well, what would your ideal Toy Story meet and greet be then?
Well, I mean, I have it already, but, like, bring Bullseye back out. He used to be out all the time.
What, Bullseye? What did they do? Was it, like, two guys in a horse costume?
No, or? He's just standing up.
Oh, okay. I will say, I'm currently, I'm playing Disney's Magic Kingdoms again.
I didn't know you stopped.
I stopped for a long time. It sucked me back in because, A, they're offering Lion King characters now, and, B, they've just opened up Frontierland. But you have to unlock Bullseye to get to Frontierland. And so right now I'm currently trying to get all the Bullseye artifacts so that I can get through to Frontierland.
That sounds fun.
It is. I'm shocked you never got into it, but.
I'm not a huge phone game person, but I do play one game, so I'm a little committed to.
Right, I know. So now, here's the thing. Have you seen, like, the aerial view of what the Toy Story Land construction looks like right now?
Yes.
This Slinky Dog roller coaster, this is a big ride, dude.
I'm cool with that.
It's big. Like, it runs the entire length of the land. And, like, you can see the track from World Drive as you drive in now. Like, when you drive by Hollywood Studios, there is a whole area of trees that are cut down where you can actually kind of see into the work area, and you can see the Slinky Dog coaster track just kind of, like, hanging out and sitting there. So we've got another year before this opens, and honestly, I mean, Hollywood Studios needs it right now, big time.
I've never said anything like this. But it's a sin that they are charging full price to get in there.
I honestly can't believe it. Somebody wanted to go. My friend Topher wanted to go to Hollywood Studios recently, and I was just kind of like, well, I mean, you know, if you got a couple hours in a night, like, you know, we'll go. Like,
but that's the thing. Like, you know, my trip, I have my trip planned on being there till, like, noon. And honestly, after this week, I'm like, it might be a really fast morning.
I mean, they took away one of the big things that, you know. And you know what? Well, since we breached that subject, why don't we move on to that? Hold on. So, an old favorite is leaving Hollywood Studios. Long rumored, but it's actually happening. The Great Movie Ride, as of, I believe, almost 2 or 3 weeks from now, is no more.
I'm going to tell you, I'm devastated.
I know you are. We talked about it a little bit earlier on the phone, or we were texting about it earlier today. I'm not as, like, broken up about this as you, but...
I love this ride.
I know you do, but...
Love it.
I made the point that it's outdated.
Tons of rides are outdated. We stick with them.
So, honestly, if this was like a... So, basically, it's being replaced by something called Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which essentially is going to be like a train ride through a cartoon, a Mickey Mouse short. Which, you know what? Right off the bat, I'm really cool with that. If it's like a classic Mickey cartoon, that's great. It's not a classic Mickey cartoon.
No, it's the new style ones.
It's the new style ones where Goofy looks like really dirty and like he probably smells.
Yeah. Listen, here's the thing. There are life lessons that you have to teach your children, right? Just different things. And one of them in my house is you know, what do you do when one of your favorite attractions closes?
What do you do?
Because it's going to happen. And I tell my kids this all the time. They're going to put something awesome there.
Have your kids heard about the closing of the Great Movie Ride?
Oh, yeah.
So they know they've ridden the Great Movie Ride for the last time.
Yeah. I mean, there was we knew the rumor was really strong. But when we saw the date for real, my wife is really upset.
Really? Yeah. I mean, what is there for your kids to do in Hollywood Studios now? Like,
I have no idea.
Star Tours, Jedi Training, Muppets, and Toy Story.
I mean, we're not even going to do Jedi Training probably anymore. We've done it so many times. So really, my morning there
is Star Tours and Toy Story.
Ethan and Heather are going to go Muppets on Rock and Roll Coaster because they might as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Muppets and Star Tours and Toy Story Mania and lunch. I'm glad I made my sci-fi lunch for 11:15 very early.
Man, you're going to get a full day of Animal Kingdom-y goodness now.
Yeah, well, I'm planning on that being a lengthy day.
Yeah, that's got to be a lengthy day. I mean, depending on what fast passes you roll in with. So
now, I'm sure there are Disney execs who love to hear this, what I'm about to say. But basically, I plan on doing studios that morning.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of the day is going to be Disney Springs. So,
oh, okay. You know,
why not? I kind of have a day to do it.
Rolling into the Springs. I like it. I'm a big fan of the idea of rolling into the, you know me, right. You know that I'm a big supporter of the Springs of Disney.
Well, I'm excited to be able to spend time there.
I was just there the other day. Seeing Spider-Man again.
Normally whenever I'm there, it's like crazy late at night. So it'd be nice to actually be there during the day and do stuff.
You know what I got to tell you? It's a much different atmosphere during the day. And what month are you coming in again? Are you going for Christmas?
November.
Okay, November.
Early. Early in November.
Oh, dude. Like, Disney Springs at Christmas is awesome.
Yeah, we did it. Not the new Springs. The last time we were there was 2014.
Oh, man.
I remember we met Santa and did a bunch of stuff.
But now it's not just Santa. Like last year, they had the Christmas tree trail. It snowed in Disney Springs. They had the drone show, which I'm hoping they bring
that
back again this year.
That drone show was really cool.
So cool. They had like wooden soldiers marching around. They had like a big candy cane stilt performer going around. They had Christmas dance parties. The a cappella group was doing all Christmas carols. It was awesome.
Well, I told you we made reservations for the observatory.
Did you know? Oh, so you've made your ADRs already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. Whoa. Okay.
Dude, I'm almost.
We need to call time out and you need to, like, fill us in here.
Oh, yeah. Very excited.
Okay.
Very excited.
So you're eating at Guy Fieri's observatory.
Yeah. You know, we have fond memories also of Planet Hollywood. So I thought it would be fun to do if we're going to spend time at at Springs to, you know, do a little bit of old school Planet Hollywood in the new format.
Okay. Except it's not old school Planet Hollywood anymore. It's like burgers and mac and cheese on it.
Which I won't eat. But they still have my, you know, crunch chicken and a bunch of other
things. That Cap'n Crunch, those Cap'n Crunch chicken fingers, they are not to be missed ever.
They're so good.
They are so good. People hear about, like, some people either hear about the Cap'n Crunch chicken fingers and they're like, what? Or they're like, yes.
My sister-in-law makes them at home.
Oh, really?
Yes, we eat them. I don't want to say all the time because I'm sure they're not the best thing in the world for you, but we enjoy them.
Okay, so what other ADRs did you make?
Well, obviously, opening day. Gotta have Garden
Grill.
Gotta
have your Garden Grill.
The next day, we're going to Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do an Ohana breakfast.
Oh, okay. I'm on board.
And then I'm taking a page out of old school Kevin Kessler. We are going to try for the first time Crystal Palace dinner.
Whoa.
So we're going to switch it up a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
Do that for dinner.
I feel partially responsible for your ADR here.
Well, I've always said that, you know, you liked it a lot. So
not only do I love it, my family loves it.
Right.
Like my family still talks about it. Listen, don't get your hopes too high. It's a Disney dinner buffet, but you know, it's good. I mean, it's really, really good. All right. So what else you got?
Monday, the day three, we're going to do Animal Kingdom. So we're going to do Yak and Yeti for dinner.
Oh, good call. Yak and Yeti for dinner is a good call.
So even the fact that I've made a dinner reservation at Animal Kingdom is just odd for me.
I know,
you know?
Right? So you went, you decided on Yak and Yeti, not Tiffin's then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I picky eater. So the Yak and Yeti menu looked a little bit more approachable.
Okay.
Tuesday, we're going to Studios. So that'll be a very early sci-fi lunch. And then the observatory, of course.
Right, for dinner.
For dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, we are going to Chef Mickey's for a very early breakfast.
Interesting.
Which I've only done one time.
Okay.
So we have a Be Our Guest lunch and then Ohana for dinner.
Be Our Guest lunch is a good time. Have you ever done Be Our Guest lunch?
Okay. Yeah, we did it last time and everyone loved it.
Yeah, Be Our Guest breakfast, don't ever do it.
No interest.
No, I did it recently and it was gross. Like, not only was it overpriced, it was gross.
Yeah, I have little interest.
I couldn't. I got more. Like, thank goodness they give you the little like pastry dish. Otherwise, I wouldn't have eaten anything.
Right.
Because I got the charcuterie board and it was just like gross. I mean, not to use the same word again, but. But yeah, all right, so is that everything, or do you have more?
And then my last day, we're in Epcot. I'm going to do Chefs de France. And then my real last 2 days, I'm in Universal.
Oh, so were you going to try out Toothsome?
I don't know what to do.
You got to do Toothsome. You got to do Toothsome Chocolate Emporium.
Yeah, I haven't decided on the Universal Eats yet.
Honestly, I was talking to my new boss today, my new job, and like they you know, like I work like in downtown Orlando now, so it's like kind of close to Universal. Like you can see Volcano Bay and whatnot. But he was saying, oh yeah, we do these like, you know, employee excursions all the time, and I'm like, dude, we gotta go to Toothsome Chocolate Emporium.
Like, oh, it's so funny.
And he was like, oh, we can do that. Like they got all like the whole staff got like super excited by the concept. So like I really wanted. We were talking about milkshakes for some reason, like at lunch, and one of the girls in the office was just kind of like, I don't know, milkshakes are just kind of boring. I'm like, no, not these milkshakes. And then I pulled out my phone and I showed them the picture of the Rice Krispie milkshake. And they were just like, whoa, what is that?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so anyway, back to your ADR sound awesome. So Disney has announced that Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, the ride will make extensive use of new screen technology that Disney is calling 2.5D with no 3D glasses required. So kind of like a Nintendo 3DS kind of thing, I'm assuming.
Right.
The new ride will replace the Great Movie Ride, which will have its final day of operation on August 13th, 2017. Why not hold off on this for a year?
I know, but
like,
you know
how is it for the next year you're going to charge $90 a day for this park?
Ugh. I know, it's insane.
So on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, you'll step through the movie screen and join Mickey and his friends like never before. The attraction will put you inside the wacky and unpredictable world of a Mickey Mouse cartoon short where you are the star and anything can happen. The zany out-of-control adventure features surprising twists and turns, dazzling visual effects, and mind-boggling transformations that happen before your very eyes. A friend of mine who was at D23 told me that they did kind of preview the technology, and it's amazing.
Right.
So
listen, I have no doubt it's going to be great.
Yeah, the attraction is inspired by the Mickey shorts you see on the Disney Channel. The people who bring you the shorts at Disney Television Animation are partnering with Imagineering to bring the attraction to life. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will feature a new story and a new singable attraction theme song, as well as a new experience WDI is calling 2.5D. Okay, so let's see here. Kevin Rafferty, Walt Disney Imagineer Kevin Rafferty says, "This is one of the boldest, most impossible things I've ever worked on in almost 40 years of being an Imagineer. And you know what? That's what I love about it. Well, that and Mickey. That's not going to be a small attraction. It's going to be game-changing. Yay!"
Game-changing is a bold phrase.
Who knew Kevin Rafferty sounded like Kermit the Frog?
It's unbelievable.
I know, right? Like, you know, mostly I just did the voice because I understand that Disney's in the market for a new Kermit. So, you know, I'm just letting my, you know.
Showing off the wares?
Yeah, just showing it off a little bit, you know. Dusting it off. I haven't done voices in a while. So, but yeah, so one thing they did say during the D23 panel, because I was watching it, they said that this is the first ever full-length ride-through attraction based on Mickey Mouse ever in the parks.
Right.
Which, I mean, you think about that and it's like insane.
Not really. I mean, let's be honest, you know, Disney for a long time, you know, longer than you and I have been around.
Right.
Realizes that Mickey is their icon and not their star.
Right.
So,
I get that.
You know, there hasn't been a Mickey Mouse movie, you know, either. So. Right.
To this day, Goofy's the only one with a feature film that was in theaters.
Right.
You know, a Goofy movie. So Mission Space and the China Pavilion are getting new films as part of Epcot's major overhaul.
I think that sounds fun.
Yeah. The new green mission at Mission Space will take guests on a stunning tour around.
Kevin's not going to make it.
you know, I'm getting like, you know, well, it's Mission Space. So I'm having like horrible flashbacks that are choking me.
Right.
We'll take guests on a stunning tour around the Earth, and an updated orange mission will make the trip to Mars even more spectacular with a new display system. So now green and orange are not even just different like levels of intensity, but they're completely different movies.
But will the green level still be safe for me?
Yes, apparently the green level is apparently even safer now. The new green mission is part of a desire to make Epcot more timeless, relevant, and more family and more Disney. Mission Space is currently closed for refurbishment and is expected to reopen to guests on August the 1st. So the first bit of new Epcot is coming to us a lot sooner than anyone thinks.
Oh, is that going to be there this already?
Oh, yeah. It'll be there for you.
Oh, nice. That's exciting.
Yep. Now, over at the China Pavilion, they're going to have a brand new digital seamless display system that will overhaul the existing Circle Vision 360 with a new film. I can't wait to not see that.
I was going to say, am I supposed to fake this to make it seem like I want to do it?
I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't even pretend. Not when there's like a new actual. So this may save Mission Space for me from being such a reviled attraction.
Right.
Okay, so now here's a kind of a biggie. We're getting a new building on Main Street USA.
That is big.
Yeah. So the Main Street Theater is about to get, you know, like, I guess they're building out the theater. It's the addition of a brand new theater off of Main Street USA. The new entertainment venue will be based on the iconic Willis Wood Theater in 1920s Kansas City, where Walt lived after he left Marceline. We have a quote here from Bob Chapek of Disney Parks. Across Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, we've been upping the game with entertainment with shows like Frozen, Live with the Iberian. That's Bob Chapek, the chairman of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. It's been a huge hit at Disneyland Resort, and I'm sure many of you have seen it. This new theater at Walt Disney World continues the streak by bringing a new venue for world-class entertainment to the world's biggest park. That was not smart to do.
You know, when you broke into that, I wanted to say this is
not a good idea. Don't do it. All right, so plans call for the new theater to be built in what is currently backstage areas between Main Street USA and Tomorrowland. You know what that means? It means that it's going to be that opening area, or that area that they open up to guests, like during Not So Scary or when there's a parade going on, to be able to get you out. So I guess they're just finally deciding, like, you know what? Everyone's seen it already. Let's just make it an actual thing.
Okay.
But if they're going to be building back there, like if that's going to be a work zone, I don't know what's going to go on for like when parades are going on now.
I know, and I always appreciate when they do that because it does make the traffic flow much easier.
So the new in keeping with Mission Space being refurbed, there is a new table service restaurant coming to Epcot. Peter Mandel,
I'm all in for this.
I am so in for this. The space theme is about to expand at Epcot's Future World with the addition of a new out-of-this-world dining experience. The restaurant will be located adjacent to the park's Mission Space attraction, which will invite guests to travel into space for amazing dining experiences in the stars. Walt Disney Imagineer Tom Fitzgerald shared a first look at the restaurant during Walt Disney World Parks and Resorts presentation of the D23 Expo. It's another quote. We know our guests love dining at Epcot, and the resorts are really out of this world. Now we're about to create the one that really takes that literally. Little Macho Man Savage for you.
Nice.
Yeah, that was also not a good idea right now. The new space restaurant will be up. Oh, God.
They're not going to make it.
The new space restaurant will be operated by the Patina Restaurant Group. They operate several other restaurants at Walt Disney World, including Tutto Italia and Via Napoli at Epcot and Morimoto Asia at Disney Springs. All winners, if you ask both myself and Dave Weikert, because he's all into Tutto Italia and I'm all into Morimoto Asia. So, unused land between Mission Space and Test Track will be the location of the restaurant, which continues to leave the Wonders of Life Pavilion available for future projects.
Hmm.
Well, they got to do something with that. When I first heard about this, I thought that was for sure where this was going.
Right.
But no, apparently not. Okay, ready for a biggie?
Yep.
We discussed the potential for this a while ago, and it's coming like a freight train. A Star Wars themed resort has been confirmed for Walt Disney World as part of a new Disney 360 vacation concept. Let that sink into you for a second.
I love it.
I mean, we are getting a Star Wars hotel. And not just a hotel. I mean, did you see the, like, the concept rooms. Art?
Yeah.
The rooms? This is a completely immersive experience. When you're in here, you are actually, like, in space. Like, your room looks out over space.
Now, but here's the thing. This isn't like a hotel you can stay your whole trip in.
No, apparently, like, if the rumors that we... And there's nothing, like, officially been... that's officially been... you know, announced for it. But the rumors we were hearing was that it would be like a 2-day immersive, like interactive experience, AKA don't go to Universal for the last 2 days of your vacation, right. Go to the Star Wars resort and do an immersive Star Wars experience. So part of a new Disney 360 vacation concept, this revolutionary new vacation experience will be a living adventure that allows guests to immerse themselves in an entirely new form of Disney storytelling. All right, we got another Bob quote here.
Oh, boy.
It's unlike anything that exists today. From the second you arrive, you'll become a part of the Star Wars story. You'll immediately become a citizen of the galaxy and experience all that it entails, including dressing up in the proper attire. Now, that's cool. Dressing up in the proper attire? You're telling me you're going to put a Jedi robe on me when I walk in that door? I am in. I am in like
Flynn.
Do I
have to dress up in said attire?
Yes. I don't know for sure. I'm telling you that you have to.
I mean, if I can go and wear like a rebel pilot, you know.
Yeah.
I'm down. I love it.
So it sounds like there's going to be some kind of transition like from Earth to the Star Wars hotel. So once you leave Earth, you'll discover a starship alive with characters, stories, and adventures that unfold all around you. It is 100% immersive, and the story will touch every single minute of your day, and it will culminate in a unique journey for every person who visits. So there you go.
So what do you think? There's like a ride built into it?
No, I think it's just going to be a lot of... I think there's going to be like centralized rooms where like big events happen and stuff like that. I mean, man... Just looking at the concept art, first of all, that bed does not look comfortable, but I'm sure it's got to be deceptively, you know.
Of course. There's space-age technology in that bed.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be. I love that. The rooms don't look big either, but...
Well, no Disney rooms are really that big.
Yeah, but that looks really small. okay, so we've got another bit of... out of this world news, but going from space, going into the digital world. And we, you know, I don't think we didn't get a chance to discuss this. It was rumored a couple weeks ago and we didn't have a show, but that is that the Tron coaster from Shanghai Disneyland is coming to the Magic Kingdom.
I'm very excited about this.
I am so excited. Have you ever watched the ride through
yes.
the Tron coaster?
It is and I feel awesome. Like, you know me, I'm not a coaster person. I feel, well, first off, you know I happen to love Tron.
I adore Tron, too.
Right. So I love, you know, light cycles, and I think it's so cool. Like, but I watched that ride video, and if they build it the way it's built there, I'm pretty sure I can do that. It doesn't look like there's anything crazy. It just looks really fast.
It looks extremely fast, yeah.
I like fast.
it's going to, now, everyone thought that this was the final nail in the coffin for the Tomorrowland Speedway.
Right.
Not so much. It's going to be a new freestanding structure built right beside Space Mountain.
Right
to the left of Space Mountain, which means it's going to probably overtake that, you know, that like nice little quiet walking path that's also like a smoking section that goes from Toontown, mm-hmm. the circus to Tomorrowland. But
yep.
Now, I don't think there's enough room there. Like, they're going to have to either... The railroad's either going to have to go down for a long period of time, they're going to have to move that track, or they got to get rid of the railroad, which I can't see happening.
Yeah, I can't see it happening either, but I don't know. I mean, they must have a plan for
maybe,
it.
Maybe I'm misjudging the amount of space that's there, but it seemed to me like there was not a lot of room there.
Right. This is the thing I'm most excited about.
The Tron light cycle is your biggie then.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Star Wars Hotel sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But... This is the one I'm really excited about.
Now, it's going to be open in time for Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary in 2021. So you know, hell or high water, they're getting this open by 2021. You're not going to get like any of like the, oh, well, we're pushing it back another 6 months. Like, they're going to open this in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
If they're,
I think it's...
Go ahead.
I think it's a weird situation, too. They know how to build it. We're just cloning it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're talking about a ride that's going to be significantly longer wait times at night.
Yeah.
People are going to want to ride this thing at night.
I'm totally going to want to ride this at night. And also, Space Mountain's not going to have very long lines anymore, which I'm also very excited for.
Right.
But now, here's the thing with this ride. You know, the one thing I don't love in the Shanghai version, it goes outside.
You don't like that?
I don't love that at all, because I feel like I lose part of the Tron-ness of it when it goes outside.
Yeah, but they have that cool, like, kind of cover over you.
Yeah, but still, you're outside. You're not in the computer. The master control program is not trying to kill you. Sark is not monologuing at you. Like,
I'm all right with it. I'm all right with it.
All right, well, you know. We'll see. You know what? Typically, they don't always do these things exactly alike. So we will see what they do here. So also, long rumored, coming to Epcot, Ellen's Energy Adventure is getting out of here. And we have got Guardians of the Galaxy coming in its place.
That's exciting.
Now, it looks like the pavilion is staying largely intact. They're keeping the building kind of as is. The one thing was, instead of that Universe of Energy thing out front by the fountain, it is now a NovaCore spaceship, which is going to be pretty cool.
Now, do you think that's going to be similar ride vehicle?
I don't know. Honestly, I think they're going to gut this whole thing and just...
use that building? Because they were doing the hype balloons, right?
Yeah, I mean, you really can't, you know...
Right.
Make an e-ticket ride out of that Ellen's. I just did Ellen's Energy Adventure again when my friend Dana was here. And like,
why, retired?
She was, apparently. Like, her and her husband were just like, let's do this. And I'm like, this sucks. We're not doing, like, we shouldn't do it. And like, they were just like, no, come on. I'm like, it's 40 minutes. And they were like, no, we love it. And I was just like, all right. And we did it. And it's so boring. Like, the part where they took the animatronic out, it's very obvious that there was something there that's not there anymore.
Right.
Like, it's just like a whole, it's like, oh, here's dinosaurs for, you know, because somebody on Facebook the other day called it Universe of Air Conditioning.
Yeah, nice. It's a great idea. I mean, that's why you go in there, right?
Yeah. So they have announced this is going to be an e-ticket attraction based on the rockin' and action-packed world of Guardians of the Galaxy. No other details announced beyond an opening date ahead of 2021 in time for the 50th. So Ellen's Energy Adventure, the last day of operations, August 13th, the same as the Great Movie Ride. So, also coming to Epcot, long rumored, and now we finally have it, the France Pavilion is getting Ratatouille, the attraction from the from Disneyland Paris.
Right.
Yeah. So, have you ever seen anything about this attraction? I never have.
No.
The attraction will expand the pavilion, so the pavilion is going to be deeper than it used to be. It will be similar to the 4D attraction Ratatouille, the adventure that opened at the Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris in 2014. Guests get to skirt to safety in a dazzling chase around a kitchen with sights, sounds, and smells of Gusteau's legendary Parisian restaurant. You know what? I'm all for more attractions in World Showcase, so...
Me too. I mean, you can't turn that down.
I mean, it's not like they're getting rid of, like, the educational, like, France Pavilion stuff. They're building a new building. I'm okay with this.
Me too.
Okay, so we have a name now for the Star Wars land. Oh, man, Bob Chapek really took it out of me. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Like it.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about it when I first heard about it, but that is going to be the name announced by Bob Chapek. He said that was the official name. We also got a full scale model of the land, and man, oh man, it is massive.
It's massive.
Yeah, the one thing, like, as it's like going through, like, did you see the fly through video?
Yeah,
they like fly through and they have like the model people in there. They look like shadows and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, add about like 600 more shadows in there, like to every like, little corner, because that place is gonna be packed. So Disney is underlining the interactive and immersive nature of the land. An example might be that a successful flight on the Millennium Falcon may earn you credits to use in the land. Equally, a bad flight might get you into trouble on your next trip into the cantina.
Hmm.
Now, do you remember what, speaking of this cantina, do you remember what we had originally said we wanted out of it?
Aliens.
We wanted an alien animatronic cantina band a la Sunny Eclipse.
Right.
Did you hear what we're getting?
No, what? That?
Oh, I'm so excited that I get to tell you this. We are getting we're getting an animatronic robotic DJ, and it is none other than Captain RX-24, formerly Captain of Star Tours.
No.
Yes, Captain Rex, the real Captain Rex, is going to be the live DJ at the cantina, and he's going to be spinning the tracks for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is that not the best? Like, honestly, there's so much wonderful thing. There's so many wonderful things that came out of D23. This might be my favorite piece of news.
You know what's funny is I was looking at all these D23 announcements, and it seems like there's so many announcements going multiple years in the future that, like, I almost feel like we're due for some bum D23s for a while.
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to announce next year?
Yeah, but you know what? Next year, like, they can go into more detail on Star Wars. They can go into,
you know. It's true.
But yeah, no, I kind of get that. I definitely kind of get that. So that is all the major D23 news.
Wow, that's crazy.
Wow. I mean, like, what an amazing D23, and what an amazing couple of years we have as Disney fans coming up, you know, to experience Walt Disney World and all these new things. And if what do you call it? Flight of Passage is any indication, what they can create out of scratch is unbelievable. So
is it wrong that I'm like thrilled that I'm gonna go, you know, one or two times before all the craziness?
No, that's not weird at all. I definitely see your point with that. Now, if you were to pick one thing that you think is going to be the standout among our listeners, like what they took away from it, what would you say would be? Probably, I'm going to say Tron.
I would say Tron or the Star Wars Hotel. I think that's going to be big.
Yeah. So I polled the listeners. I have not read it yet. This is going to be a cold read.
Okay.
So I said, for this week's show, what was your favorite news item from D23? Vicky Ford says, just one. Oh my, there were so many. I'm loving that they are giving Epcot some love. Ratatouille, I guess, if I had to pick just one. So Ratatouille on the board.
Okay.
Sam Murphy says, the Star Wars Hotel and the restaurant above Mission Space, the theming in both of those places will be amazing. Benjamin Alexander says, the fact that Stitch's Great Escape is here to stay.
That's not funny.
Yeah. And he said, but all kidding aside, probably Guardians or Tron. Brian Kutch says, it's a little bittersweet, but I'm happy that something new is going to happen with the Great Movie Ride. Just kind of sad that the Great Movie Ride concept is completely gone, but a Mickey ride still is cool. Now, you know what? The one thing I will give about the sorrow for the Great Movie Ride is it is kind of the last vestige of what Disney's MGM Studios at the time was supposed to be about.
Yeah, or the Hollywood Studios name, if you will.
Yeah, like about to be how movies are made and like a behind-the-scenes look at the movies, and it's not that anymore.
I mean, I know we've said this in the past, but I just can't see this park being named that much longer.
I know. And, you know, here's the thing. Like, I feel like outside, with the exception of Magic Kingdom, they kind of have gotten away in each park about what the parks are supposed to be about. Epcot, you know, right, with the edutainment kind of like thing, you know, Hollywood Studios with the movies, and even Animal Kingdom with animals, like with Pandora and whatnot. Like, I mean, they're just kind of like, I think it's just kind of like whatever sells, you know, like whatever's going to get you to come and spend money. But
right.
And I don't like to say that, but you know what? At the end of the day, how can I complain about a Guardians of the Galaxy ride? How can I complain about a Star Wars land? How, you know, like, you can't complain about these things. So if that means we have to sacrifice the original vision, I mean, these are always meant to be evolving places. So
right.
Jason Dan Sisson says, definitely Tron. That ride looks amazing. It doesn't really fit into the future that never was theme, but who cares? Wow.
You know, I kind of feel like it fits.
I feel like it fits, too. I feel like it's kind of right in there with the, you know, with the theming of Tomorrowland. Josh Worrell says, Ratatouille from the movie Ratatouille. No, seriously. Guardians hitting Epcot is the big news for me. Just not ideal, but glad to get the first bit of Marvel in the parks. Probably first and only, but, you know.
Right.
Disneyland is getting, like, a whole Marvel, like, that's a whole other topic for a whole other day. Sam Murphy says, I have another one, but it's kind of a fringe thing. I like that Whoopi Goldberg was announced as a Disney legend, but only because of her statements about Song of the South. I guess she said something like Disney shouldn't hide from its heritage, from its history or whatever.
Okay.
Patrick Kramer says, the scope of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, if they are able to fulfill every concept they put forth in the D23 presentation, it will surpass anything any other theme park has ever attempted and set a bar so high it will be difficult for others to surmount. I agree with that.
Definitely.
And here's the thing. Remember, like, when we got the scale model at first for New Fantasyland, and it was like, oh, the Stepmother's Chateau and Briar Rose's Cottage and, like, all these things that never happened? I was, like, wondering, right. Like, I'm like, oh, gosh, is this going to... But then I remember that, like, we got the New Fantasyland model, or, like, that concept art, I guess, at least, long before ground ever broke on New Fantasyland.
Yep.
If I remember correctly. They're already building this, so they know exactly what's going to be going there. Okay, I love the fact that there are, like, TIE fighters and X-Wings, like, just parked randomly all over the place.
Me too.
Like,
well, there's an A-Wing.
So much joy. Yeah, there's an
A-Wing. The A-Wing is my favorite of all these Star Wars vehicles.
And I like that the Millennium Falcon is parked outside the Millennium Falcon attraction.
Yeah, it's cool.
Definitely a nice touch. Tim Parker says, the new DVC resort. Chris Wallace says, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is going to be epic. Glad you guys are back. Eileen Wells says, anything about Epcot enhancements, Mission Space Restaurant, Guardians, and getting rid of Universe of Energy. Kayla Lisa Battiello says, Incredibles 2. I'm not commenting on park. Excuse me. On park stuff because it changes so much and we have a long way to Galaxy's Edge, which does look so amazing. Stacey Gregory says, Star Wars Hotel, hands down. It looks next level crazy and I am all in. Chris Giacelli says, definitely Tron. Love the movie, so I'm very excited to have a ride based on it. I am all about more Tron, representation.
Me too, especially if they are, especially if they're really considering doing another one.
It's such a parkable, like property too. Like,
yeah.
Ashley Robinson says the Kingdom Hearts trailer with the Andy's Room level. I agree. Gareth Kinnear says probably Tron. Susie Scott says Pixar Pier in Disneyland. Ratatouille and Tron in Walt Disney World. My goodness.
You're not even going to make it through this.
I'm not going to make it through this. It's all Bob Chapek's fault. Not my fault at all for choosing to do this. Gigi Burns says, I like that Ratatouille is finally getting some love. I love Epcot, and I'm glad that they're adding more. Chris Doherty from the Geek Watchtower, which is hopefully coming back sometime soon, he says Kingdom Hearts, which I'm not shocked about because we love Kingdom Hearts. Joanne Ralston says anything Epcot. Michael Fernandez says, I think that all the Epcot stuff is amazing, but having another coaster in Magic Kingdom is the best news. That is, I mean, again, it's another e-ticket attraction in the Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
Tony Stevens says, my least favorite is that it looks like Disney is going to use the animation style of the new Mickey Mouse shorts for the Great Mickey Ride. Yes. Yes, they are.
I'm all right with it. You know, that's not the part that bothers me. It bothers me looking at a great movie ride. But you know what? They do Mickey Shorts comics based on that look. And I can tell you something. Kids love them. So if you're telling me they're going to put in a Mickey ride in the Chinese theater, you know what? I expect them to go with, you know, this vintage style that is new.
I just hate the goofy design. Like I said, he
I know. I think it's weird.
He looks like a hobo and he looks like he smells.
Right.
Chris Whiteley says, gotta be the Tron coaster. Ever since Shanghai got it, I've been hoping that they would bring it over here too. Really excited about that. Michael Bobeichel says Ratatouille. Connor Weber says Ratatouille by far. Love what I see from the picture videos. Glad Epcot is finally getting some love. Storybook Julius, who filled in for you last week from Storybook Radio here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, says, I don't think Star Wars Land counts because they only announced the title, so I'm going with Ratatouille. Sarah Malayu, I feel like I butcher Sarah's name every time she comments, says the Tron coaster for sure. Second would be the DVC Riviera Hotel, mostly because for the time being, DVC's eyes are off of Fort Wilderness. I get that. Chris Doerr says Star Wars Hotel all the way. Paul Tawernicki says the space-themed restaurant. Amanda Taylor says Ratatouille for sure. I don't mind the great movie ride and Mickey and Minnie ride news. Just hate that they are using the new animation for it. That seems to be kind of a theme for everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
Anthony Fernandez says, Children of Thanos. What is it? I don't understand.
That's from, well, that's movie news.
Oh.
You're going direct from the Infinity graphic novel, which is fantastic, by the way.
Really?
Thanos is, quote, children.
Oh, they're going to be in Infinity War?
Yeah, they look awesome. They showed those nice maquettes of them. And looks. They're not going to be in Disney World. They're just in the movie.
Oh, they're just in the movie. Okay. Kay Pern says the Neutron attraction. Okay, so here, Julie Hyland has a very negative review. She says none. I was pretty disappointed with everything I've heard, hoping I missed something. I'm usually excited, but I have to admit that I don't understand Disney's choice of properties to focus on. Tron? I don't personally know anyone who's into that. Star Wars is popular, but I've never liked it. Well, you know, clearly they're marketing to one person.
Okay. Well, let me just say, we all have bad days.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe, this isn't
for
you.
She says the plans look really dreary. I mean, I could see how someone who doesn't like Star Wars could think that. To me, it looks so authentic. CSR plans leave me feeling disappointed. I'm not into the tower design. I think that will take away from the small, quaint feel that makes the resort special. Guardians of the Galaxy, I know some people enjoy this. I don't. Again, a lot of people do. It makes a lot of money. I'm excited to see Energy replaced, but I'm less than thrilled with the deliberate shifting of focus from future world and science to character-centric, movie-centric themed rides better suited to studios or Fantasyland. Wrinkle looks horrid. I didn't see the Wrinkle in Time trailer. She said themed rides better suited to studios or Fantasyland. Wrinkle looks hard, but I'm willing to give it a go. Great Movie Ride becomes a Mickey Mouse screen ride. I don't understand that. It just seems potentially lazy. Yeah, I'm not thrilled. Melissa Johnson says Star Wars Hotel.
There you go.
Alex Carlson says I would say Star Wars Hotel, but I'm thinking it will probably be three times more expensive than the already out of my price range deluxe hotels. I'll go with that Epcot Future World concept art. And Christina McSheffrey says the announcement of the Aaron Coaster and the clip we got from the new Wreck-It Ralph movie, which is Aaron Coaster. I think she meant Tron Coaster, and it was an autocorrect.
Okay.
I was like, Aaron, did I miss something? I'm like, no, it's probably Tron. But you know, and going back to like Julie's stuff, like not every property is for everybody, and I get that. But you know, you can't deny that Star Wars is, I mean, it's Star Wars. It's, you know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Like having a Star Wars theme park is such a game changer. It's not even like, it's not even a question. It's the only land I think that's ever going to be completely duplicated in more than one park. Like, is there any other land that is just exactly the same attraction, same shop, same everything?
Yeah.
And it seems to me, like, unless I miss something, that Disneyland and Walt Disney World's Galaxy's Edge are all pretty much exactly the same.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what our friends around the world had to say this week.
You know, it really makes you wonder, how far away are we from a Harry Potter themed hotel?
It can't be long. Can't be long now. Universal's got to be having that kicking around.
I mean, it's the only thing I can imagine that they are like, we have to do this. Because you know what? You want people to come to Universal when Disney's going to have all this stuff. You're going to get people to go to Harry Potter Hotel.
I can only see one hang up with this. And that's JK. She's so particular. You don't think that they brought this idea to her before? I guarantee you they have.
Well, it might be time to open the checkbook a little bit more.
I don't know. She, like I said, she's super particular about everything. That's why Harry Potter World's not in Disney.
Right.
Supposedly, she went to Disney first and was like, you have to give me creative control. And Disney was like, goodbye, lady.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. So, I know Tron was your, like, top. What would be your...
Definitely.
What's your second?
You know, I'm going to leave the Star Wars Hotel out for a minute just because it's hard for me to wrap my head around that.
And there were really no details about it.
Right, without knowing the details, the price, how it's going to work. You know, same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy, right? I think it's cool. I don't know enough to be like, I'm so excited. I'm oddly excited about a space-themed restaurant.
I am too. And Captain... And so for me, I think it would be Tron and the inclusion of Captain Rex as the DJ in the cantina.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Okay, so that... I mean, anything else you want to add this week?
I really hope you feel better, Kevin.
Thank you. I'm probably going to feel pretty much worse tomorrow now that I've...
Might I suggest no voices this week?
I will try. That's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We are so happy to be back with you guys. And we are so happy to be bringing you guys the Disney news. And what awesome news to be coming back to. All right, folks. So if you love our good friend Peter Mandel and you want to go visit him, and, you know, you might run the risk of running into Sean, but you could get Pete.
Sean's a great guy.
It's kind of a roll of the dice. No, we love Sean. Sean's awesome. Sean seems like he's in a good place. Like, when I talk to Sean, I'm like, man, Sean is so subdued. Like, I remember Sean being a little bit more on edge. Like,
nah, Sean's doing good.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for him. Folks, if you want to roll the dice and meet either Pete or Sean, head on over to Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey at 105 North Union Avenue in Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or check out roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, Aulani in Hawaii, or Universal Orlando Resort in Orlando, Florida, and we obviously hope you are, check out our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. I'll be calling Dave Weikert the second that Star Wars Resort opens up his reservations. But, folks, also, if you are renting a crib or stroller on your next Disney vacation, please look up our good friends at KingdomStrollers.com, who will deliver your crib or stroller directly to your Disney resort and pick it up at the end of your stay. Folks, and for me, please check out my books, Ross and Auntie. They are still on sale for 99 cents until this Friday, which I believe is the 21st or the 22nd, whatever this Friday is. They are on sale for 99 cents on Amazon.com in the Kindle store. So get them while they're still 99 cents, and you can find more information on that on my Facebook page, facebook.com/KevinJKessler, my website, authorkevinjkessler.com, and follow me on Twitter at KevinJKessler. Okay, well, folks, thank you again for joining us this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
More news next week.
More news next week. Folks, please keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.